Brilliant. Brilliant. Welcome back to Colin and Julia. We were not jealous. Oh, yes, we were. And if you're wondering who Colin and Julia are, they're the brown ones who have more tan than we would ever get in a whole English summer. And they've got in, how many weeks was it? Two, three? Two for you and four for Julia. So she got the double blessing. Okay. So Shekinah glory, there it is over there. Lovely to have you back with us. If you're visiting with us or haven't been with us over the last few weeks, we're looking at these four Sundays in January. It's time of just sharing the vision of what God has laid on our hearts as a leadership team and what we feel God is saying about the church and about who we are together and what our mission is, what makes us tick, what causes us to be who we are, and some of it we're doing, some of it we're moving towards, some of it we're getting very right, and others we're needs to improve. But that's all part of vision. Vision isn't necessarily what we are, but where we're moving to. So I hope this morning that in the few minutes I've got left after a great time of worship and lots of things being shared and body ministry happening and church being church, we can also look into the what is God saying to us? In Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read it to you. I will vaguely refer to it as we go through this morning. There is an amazing happening. There's sort of the establishment of the church. The Holy Spirit comes. There's this outpouring of power that comes. There's a preach from a fisherman that sees the largest conversion of people to the gospel to that date. And if it happened again today, anywhere on the face of the planet, it would still be a very significant event that thousands of people in one preach, not a very long preach. I see a few, hear a few amens there. Quite powerful, but not particularly outstanding in its nature. But yet people are being saved and added. People are coming into this new thing, the church. They're getting stuck in. They're getting equipped. They're getting empowered. They're being released to be the church. And the rest of the New Testament that comes out of that is really about 60%, if you were to level it out, about 60% about things they were getting wrong. About 25% about things that they were getting right. And the other 15% about things that are going to happen later on. Well, this morning I want to talk about some things that we're getting right and that are going on. Last week, Simon, about being connected to God. He talked about connecting to God. And that was through our devotion to the Word of God, to the Spirit, and to prayer. Sounds familiar from Acts chapter 2 and 42 onwards. It should have given you enough time to find it if you were looking it up or finding it on your phones or your apps. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave as to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Ah, oh, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was the report about us today? Well, part of that is. Part of that will be. Part of that is and part of that will be. Today we're going to be connecting something else. Don't put it up yet, Gordon. What do you think it might be? Simon said last week, and notice he's not here this week to follow it up. What do you think it might be? Connecting with each other. Let's see if that's what it is. Yay! How did you know? You read the notices. There's one person who's read the notices. You can either be prophetic, or you can be practical, or you can be both. I'm choosing the both. Okay? Connecting with each other. What does this church look like from the inside? What should we look like from the inside? If you're regularly part of this church, what are we? What are we? How are we? Who are we? How do we function as a church? We looked last week at the foundation, and when we met as leadership team, it took us a lot of our day and a lot of our thinking and a lot of our working out to just to go through those things of getting that foundation. Because if we're not connected to God, church doesn't exist. Buildings can exist. Groups of people can exist. Organizations can exist. Religious gatherings can happen. But church doesn't exist if we're not connected to God. But if we are connected to God, and I believe that we are, then what does that mean? What does that look like to us? This week we're looking at the part of the vision which is connecting to each other. In essence, how are we living out being church together? With Jesus in the midst of a growing community of graced, saved people, what should or must we look like? Of course, it is connecting with God in word, spirit, prayer, worship, breaking bread, all of these things that we've read about even here in Acts chapter 2. But what does ACC need to look like as a community of believers, a local expression of grace to one another? Are you part, do you believe that you're part, or do you believe that you're an integral part of a growing expression of grace to one another? Am I an expression of grace to you? Are you an expression of grace to me? Does your life within the life of Aylsham Community Church reflect that you are an expression of grace to one another? This is a question that we need to look, we need to explore, we need to put some answers to, and we need to have at the heart and core of who we are. It needs to be part and parcel of our vision, because being connected to God is absolutely essential. But if we're not working it out with one another, we're missing the key element of why we're still here. And that's to be working out with one another. It is a key element. There are other key elements which we will look forward in the next 2 weeks. If you want to find out what they are, read your notices. If you don't want to know what they are and want the surprise, then don't read your notices. If you want to play a game, pray and see what God says to you and see if you get it right. Okay, let's begin. Next slide, please. Connecting with each other. First of all, we have da-da-da-da. We are family together. We are connecting to each other by being family together. Family is a very emotive word in our culture today. What does it mean? What is the essence of family? Has the definition of family changed in our society? Politicians and the think tanks would try to redefine the word family. It wasn't that long ago that family meant a father, a mother, and children. That was the definition of family. And if that wasn't what was happening, it was seen as different from the norm. Family has a very different definition now. We struggle with that word a little bit in our society. What does family mean? But yet within the life of the church, the very essence of whatever the definition of the finality of family is, there are things that set us apart as family. Family is, and this week in school, I teach primary school, we were doing action words, doing words, verbs. And so there was a lot of ing going on in my class. And I actually sat down, and as I started to prepare, I thought, I could spend an awful long time teaching on family. And if you look at your watches, which some of you will have just done when I mentioned time, or the clock at the back, you realize that it's about 9 minutes, 8 minutes too. I've been on my feet for about 5. Normally I would have 40. So maybe this was God trying to help me this morning. I just came up with a whole list of ing words, ing words, of what it means to be family together. I could read each one. I could speak on each one. We would be here until next Sunday morning. There are a lot of them. I'm going to choose right now just to read those words to you. And I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit will stir in your heart a desire and a passion that this is happening when we are connected together to each other. Can I have faith that the Spirit of God can do that? Yes, I do. Are you ready? Father, will you help us right now as a church to connect together? And in any of these words that we think, that's not happening in or through me, I am not being an expression of grace this way, will you help us to change? Even as we preach, will you stir these things in our hearts as a people? That this is what we are together. Family is a caring, sharing, giving, loving, encouraging, embracing, forgiving, forgetting, encouraging, helping, serving, welcoming, feeding, time spending, investing, working, playing, supporting, uplifting, laughing, and talking group of people. Don't tell me the ones I've missed, but live those ones out as well. Living in the best, in and out of each other's homes, being together, love demonstrated. That was the best of Acts 2. That needs to be the best of us. But family is also, it is differing, challenging, speaking, confronting, confessing, provoking, organizing, hurting, crying, talking, upsetting, struggling, wrestling, healing, embarrassing, leaving, cleaving, sending, frustrating, and at times grieving. That is family together. We'd love to stay on just the superlatives. But the reality is that those things are part of family as well. The superlatives, living in the best. The challenges, living through the worst. That is family. That is normal. That is natural. It is also supernatural. Family is learning. It's adapting. It's weighing. It's joining. It's adhering. It's understanding. It's managing. It's providing. It's building. It's creating. It's inviting. And if all of those things are working in beautiful harmony, full of the Spirit, full of God, full of passion, full of vision, then we will be invigorating, consolidating, changing, adapting, adopting, infiltrating, attacking, calculating, sharpening, motivating, liberating, releasing, and intoxicating. That describes an active family connecting to each other. Are you challenged with those? I was. Am I trying to be the best in those? Are we working towards being the best in those? Because family together, connecting together with Jesus as the head, the full body, fully functioning, fully working together, is powerful. And whatever season, mood, mode, you are in or find yourself in, or someone comes to us and finds themselves in, they will find within a connected family all that they need and more. So if you're visiting with us, I met someone for the first time this morning. It was great. I want them to be connected in. I want them to experience that kind of family. I also have spoken to people that I've known for years here now, 10, 11 years. Great. I want them to be connected in. I want that part of our vision as a church is that we are connecting together as family. Not as little groups within a bigger organization, but as family together. And that no one thinks, oh, I don't want to talk to them, or I don't want to talk to them, or I don't identify with them, or I'm not sure about them, or they're not quite my kind of people. No. We are God's kind of people because He chose us to be family. He connected us to be family. He connected us that way. And that has to be part and parcel of our vision. Part of our vision as well is our growth groups. Now, you may or may not be part of a growth group. Can I encourage you that a growth group, fully functioning, fully happening, is made up of a group of family people together who are creating a spiritual nuclear bomb? How's that for a definition of a growth group? You are working together to create an absolute place of power. A place that when that power is released, it changes your life. It changes other people's lives, and it changes those who come near them that they will never, ever forget it. That's a big vision. I'll be honest, sometimes my vision for growth group is a nice group of Christians together having a good time. Slightly different than my growth group, our growth groups are going to be small spiritual nuclear bombs, ready and equipped to change and to take on anything that comes at us. You know, the atomic bombs and nuclear bombs, they're kind of the answer to everything in movies. Independence Day. Anybody ever watch that silly movie? Independence Day? You know, got this huge, big spaceships that are coming. What do they throw at it? A nuclear bomb. They try everything else. Well, we'll try nuclear. Doesn't work. Every big attack there is on any of the movies, it's sort of like the last resort. Why? Because it's the ultimate release of power that we have on the planet of this earth at this point in time. Well, I know a bigger power. And that's connecting with God and connecting with each other. And releasing that power together. In our homes, spread out like webs of energy from the north to the south to the east to the west and central, growing in number, growing in passion, growing in power, growing in impact. Is that your vision? Is that your vision? You know, I think of Stephen and Anita's group, kind of, well, geographically a little bit out to the east. And then we've got the center of the universe out to the west. We've got Jill and Pip going down to the south there yet. We've kind of got Dave and the group that's kind of gathers a few from the north and others from around here. And it's kind of a little bit north. Yes, Ruth, I remembered you. Yes, they do. Thank you. They do. And there's a hub of the groups that are meeting within Aylsham itself. But if our vision, not just what's happening, but our vision is that we have growth groups that are dynamic little bombs of power, I want to see more. I want to see lots more. I want to see people who are moving into Hevingham, as if anybody would ever move into that place, with a vision that there'll be a growth group in Hevingham. That there'll be those that are moving that live in the Coltishall way. That they'll have a vision that they're not having to travel all the way over here, but there's a growth group, a power and dynamic that's happening there. That John and Margaret will have a growth group in the center of their village that will be so powerful that it's changing that village. So it might seem a long way off, but that's what vision sometimes is about. Not what's just happening now, but what's going to happen. What's possible? What is possible? I drive through Bristol. Notice I didn't call it Milton Constable? I'm learning. I either get some things right. I drive through Bristol. I was talking to someone who was describing Bristol, not in the most pleasing of terms the other week. They talked about some of the social challenges and difficulties that were there. Some of the issues that are in that small village. Just, I drive through it, past it, every day that I go to work. I pray for it every day as I go to work, there in Milton Constable. How about a dynamic group, a nuclear bomb? Do you think it could change the very heart and passion of that village? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Clint and Lois, you don't live in Aylsham. How about a dynamic group? You're already part of a group. But how about one on your doorstep? How about one that's meeting in your place? How about one that can change the very nature of the people where you live? Because it's so full of vision and passion. The days of growth groups being just a nice little let's get together have got to move on into, if God is saying revival, it's got to affect us with vision and passion. Time to review and renew our passions for getting together. They met in each other's homes daily in Acts 2. Don't forsake gathering together, the Bible says. So what are we doing? Gathering to see God moving through you. It's not going to be like on a Sunday, let's be honest, where we gather together to see God often move through other people. You came this morning. How many of you came with something to share? Probably a few. But many of us, let's just be very cold and honest, will have come this morning to see, what am I going to receive this morning? What is God going to give to me in the worship? What am I going to get out of the Word this morning? Who am I going to meet that's going to encourage me? And that should be church. But it should also be, what are we coming to give? What are we coming to put in? What is the energy that we are going to expend as we meet with this glorious God? As we meet with Him, what's the outworking of that going to be? And if that's happening on a big scale on a Sunday, and an ever-increasing scale on a Sunday, because we've got new people here this morning, we're a growing church, which is bucking the trend of church. We've got people moving in. We've got people on the edge who are asking about what it means to be a Christian. And I'm believing that this church is going to grow and grow and grow, because we're going to connect with God, and we're going to connect with each other. And there's going to be a power that's released. It's going to mean that our growth groups are going to become ever increasingly important. Because if we have 250 here on a Sunday morning, you're not going to have much chance to do your little bit. Let's do the maths. One Sunday morning, 250 people, four people bring a spiritual gift. Sound good? It does. Sounds good to me. Maybe five. Sounds pretty good. Let's do the math. 250 people, 10 to 15 people in a growth group. You do the math. Quick, how many? 250 divided by 15, come on. Sorry? About 15, 16? Somewhere around that? 16, three or four spiritual gifts in each of those growth groups. 45 to 50 spiritual gifts expressed through the life of the church. I'm just doing the maths. Which is the most dynamic, spirit-filled church life description? The Sunday morning or the growth group? You know what the answer is? Both. Both. But it's being involved. Which one is going to see more people prayed for? Which one is going to see those little things that you need prayer for happening and getting prayer for? Which one is going to have more hands laid on? Which one is going to see more people healed and set free? Which one is going to see the kingdom of God really coming to power more dynamically? The growth group is. So if you're not involved in one, I'm going to ask you a question. Why not? If it's because you don't like going out in the evenings, we're looking at starting some daytime ones. If you're not going because you don't like them, change. If you're going along because they're boring, go along and change it. Connect to God. Connect with your growth group. Live it out. Let's be full of vision and passion. Let's believe that this week that our growth groups are going to be different. Let's believe that this week you're going to come and you're going to get prayed for and you're going to pray for someone else and you're going to come with a spiritual gift and they're going to be absolutely dynamic. No, they're not going to have Penny in a band leading worship. They might have CD and a song in the corner, but I'm going to come and I'm going to worship. I'm going to connect with God. I'm going to connect with one another. Because I've got vision and I've got passion and I've got desire. We're going to worship together. We're going to pray together. We're going to apply the word together. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to hurt. We're going to rejoice together. Why? Because there's a small nucleus of people who are making a nuclear bomb that's going to change that part of this world. And if that one sets off and that one sets off and that one sets off and that one sets off, we've got a chain reaction that absolutely devastates the world and ushers in the kingdom of God with power. Are you up for that? Because if you're not, then listen again. Are you up for that? Because this is where we're going as a church. This is what we believe God has said to us. That we're going to be a big church with big impact and we're going to see revival on our doorstep. And our growth groups are going to be necessary because I'll tell you what, Pat and Clive can't look after all the new Christians. They can't do it. But through our growth groups, they're going to come into a living, vibrant, exploding, energy-filled group of people who are one anothering and caring for one another, connecting to each other, and they're going to be discipled quickly and solidly and put into action, and it's going to happen over and over and over again. Growth group leaders, rethink your vision. Rethink the reason why you're meeting. If you're part of a growth group already, rethink. What are you going for? What are you bringing? What are you expecting? Because if you don't expect anything, you won't get anything. But if you expect everything, it will happen. Why? Because you will grow in faith. You're connecting to God. You're connecting with each other. I'm way over time already. This is pure small church, vibrant and essential in a larger and growing church context. Regularly equipping of leaders will become the norm. But also a passion for one another must become the norm. Spiritual gifts being rife in our growth groups. Worship being intimate and powerful. The word being accessible and chewed through. Breaking bread together. Not a funeral time, but a time of celebrating what God is doing as we connect one with another. This is family being lived out. Not just a nice necessity, but a vibrant and full group of people, full of the power of God. If you're not involved in a growth group, and you, after this, want to be, come and see me, and I will point you to a nuclear cell. If you've been before, and it didn't work for you, come and talk to me, and we'll do everything we can to make it work for you. If you've been, and for some reason you just fall into the back, then get your shoes out and go again. And come with an expectation. We're going to go through the last four, believe it or not, rapidly now. Click. Training and equipping. Every believer trained and equipped. Not just to sit on their hands there, but trained and equipped to be released into the serving in the kingdom of the church. This is connecting together. This is one with another. How can we be trained in the life of the church? Bruce, how can we be changed in the life of the church? He's got two words. He has a mantra. Word plus. Word plus. If you want to know about the kingdom of God, you need to be on Word plus. Him and Pete Athill, they're going to be teaching on. They were teaching on that. You're in the middle of it. You can still join in, though. Absolutely. We can be trained and equipped that way. We can be trained and equipped through our growth groups. Ooh, heard that one before somewhere. We can be trained through courses that we run. We can be trained and equipped through marriage and children courses. We can be trained and equipped in personal Bible study. We can be trained and equipped through resources and books and things that are good for us. And we're going to be looking to make that a possibility and a probability of at times saying, have you read this? If you haven't, you should. It's great stuff. And one of my confessions this morning is I wrote a note on my desk and put, don't forget to take some books to hold up and say, have you read this? And guess what? The note is on my desk. But if you're not a reader, I'm not a great reader. I read what people say to me, this is worth reading. I don't just sort of browse read. Sometimes we just need that. And we're going to do that. We're going to say, this is worth reading. This is worth getting your teeth into. And if you're reading something or watching something or experiencing something, share it. That's discipling and caring for one another. That's training for one another. We just had David up here talking about the Christians Against Poverty. How to use our money wisely. It's not just if you're in terrible financial situation. It's for anyone. It's for anyone. If you use money, this course is helpful to you. Anybody just ruled out of that? It is helpful to you. And when God moves and does things, share it with one another. Build faith. Build faith when God releases finance or does something or turns your widow's mite into enough to change a nation. When God blesses you, bless each other. This is being connected together. When God blesses you, bless the work of the church, both on an individual basis but on a corporate basis as well. I know that coming up to the end of last year, this church, as far as giving, had given so generously, but we were still slightly behind. And we began to pray. And I felt God laid it on me to pray that by the end of the year, that situation would change. And it did. It did. Now, we didn't quite get to where we wanted to, but my goodness, in that short period of time, God did things that I couldn't have even dreamt of. And we're connected together. We're connected together. It's not just me doing my bit. We're connected together. And in training, we're then equipped. And the more that we equip, the more effective we become. And the more effective we become, the more people we reach. And the more people we reach, the more people we have to train who become more effective, who can reach more people. Can you see the spiral outwards? Oh. And so if we are being family together, if our growth groups are being dynamic cells, dynamic nuclear settings, if our training is equipping us to do the works of service, my goodness, this is going to be an exciting and busy place. And it's going to be a good place because we're full of vision. Not because I'm telling you, but because this is kingdom. This is kingdom being worked out. And if you don't know what kingdom is, go to... You got it. Next one, quickly. Serving. Everyone vital to the full working of the church are... You serving, are you serving sacrificially? Are you serving sacrificially? I'll tell you what, revival comes. When revival comes, we're all going to be busy people. All very busy people. And we all need to pick up on the vision of serving. Not as a task that I must do, but something that helps us to fulfill all that God has called us to. I am very, very, very glad that someone this morning got here very early and unlocked the building and unset the alarms. I am very, very, very glad that someone was here this morning turning on the heating, making sure that things are in the right place, sorting this out, sorting that out, putting these things out, getting those things out. Because if that didn't happen, you'd be sitting on the floor. I am very, very, very glad that there are people right now serving in a much difficult setting than I am. They're working with the kids. I work with them 5 days out of the week. Last Tuesday, I stood at the gates of our school with all the parents going, oh, my kids are driving me mad. I can hardly wait for them to get back to school. And I'm sitting there, great, you've got one and you're struggling. You're giving me 26. And I have them longer one-on-one than you do. They never sit 5 hours just right there, having to engage them. Never. And I have to. Thank you very much. But I'll tell you what. If we are serving as a life of the church, and every one of us, I rolled my sleeves up this morning, not just because I was going to get down to business, because I was feeling quite warm. But I knew I was going to get down to business. I cannot peach, pear, apple. I cannot preach without getting passionate about church. And this is what we're about here. We're about church, serving one another, caring for one another, taking that. It's a faith-filled venture, a spirit-filled venture to set out the chairs. Oh, no, it's not. Anybody can set out chairs. True. But those chairs were not set out just simply because you need to sit on them. That sign out there that says, please, no football parking out here, didn't just appear out there just because somebody's got on the tick list. It's because they got a vision and a passion to make this morning as accessible and as powerful and as exciting as it possibly can for you so that the kingdom of God can expand amongst us. Makes whoever's going to be serving coffee at the end look at a different perspective. Whoever you are that's going to be back there, you will have contact with virtually every adult person in this church. Smile. Enjoy it. Pray for them. If someone comes up looking like they've just been run over twice and they ate 3 lemons for breakfast, pray for them. Be church. Be church. Be church together. Connect together. Maybe there's someone here you don't know this morning. You've never met them before, like I did someone this morning. And instead of them wandering to the back table here or over there a little bit aimlessly because they don't know anybody, get out of your comfort zone and go and be friendly to them. Connect with them. Go and get them a cup of coffee. Ask them if they'd like a cup of coffee or tea. Why should they fight their way through the crowds of all of us? Are you looking behind you? Oh, I've never met you before. Would you like to go first? This isn't Sainsbury's where we're trying to get out of as quickly as we can. This is church where we're trying to stay and encourage and build people in. This is serving one another. Raising the visibility of opportunities to serve. Looking to serve outside your box at times as well. Yes, there will be things that you are called to do. Things that you are gifted with. I am not on the PA desk. Anyone else glad that you are not on the PA desk? That's not your responsibility. Margaret, I saw you shake your head. Margaret doesn't want to be on that. Margaret probably never will be on there. But she will serve us by having the communion here when we need it. And even last week, when their phone lines and their internet had been down for a period of time, they didn't find out till sometime late on Saturday that we were actually having communion on Sunday. They blessed me because John phoned me on Sunday morning and said this. He said to me, we've got family, we've just found out it's communion. Margaret's been up since 6 o'clock making bread. She was serving us in something that she finds fulfillment in. We were able to connect with God and connect with each other through breaking bread because someone served us. It served me because I was playing guitar, which meant that I needed to be here at about 8:45, and I had been commissioned, because we couldn't get a hold of them, to get some bread and wine to have it here. And I was pulling what little hair I have out, trying to work out how do I get to Tesco's in time to get that wine and to get that bread and to be back here when I know we probably won't finish preparing the worship till about 10:15. Also, I needed to set out the table and all those sorts of things and just kind of get it ready. And then I was going to pounce on them when they came through the door and say, by the way, we are having communion. Could you? I've got this. Would you? Knowing that their serving heart would click in. And actually, there'd be a little bit of disappointment in them because it was just Tesco bread instead of Margaret's. And the love and the care that goes into something as simple as that helps us to serve. That's within your box, but what about out of the box? Sometimes you just need to be out of the box as well. Do we need to clear the chairs at the end of the meeting today? We need to clear the chairs at the end of the meeting today. That might be out of your box. Oh, I don't do chairs. Can you pick up one chair and stack it on top of another, another, and leave it? That helps. Can you pick up one stack of chairs and move it across there? So that it isn't, and I say this all love and due respect, it isn't the over 70s who tend to be the ones who end up moving all the chairs over there. If we all look outside of the box, we become a group of people who have vision for what we are as a people of God. Children's work. Do you know we have a big need in children's work at the moment? Why? Because we've got lots of children, growing numbers of children. We've got families who've moved in and joined us with more than one child. 2, 3, 4, maybe more. And we need some new children's workers. We need some helpers. You don't have to lead a group. All you need to do is serve in a group. Might be outside of your box. Could you do it once this term? Are you one of the privileged few who can sit in and hear the preach every Sunday? How about once this term? Chris would have the biggest smile on her face because I know the pressure she's under And it's something that she is doing outside of her box. She's not a children's worker. She's not a children's coordinator. But she does a good job. She's serving us in that moment, at this point in time. And if you're a parent here, she is serving you. Brilliant. She doesn't do it with her arm twisted. She does it because it needs doing. Tell you what. How about making her day by being connected together and going up and saying, I'll do a Sunday. I'll go in and help. You might be new here. Great. Come and talk to us. We'll find a way for you to serve and to help. Next one, quick. Oh, way over time. Must be Marshall preaching. Pastoring. Oh, a church that is connected together is pastoring. There's a pastoral team that's growing in the life of the church. And in a healthy church, most pastoral needs are going to be met through family life, through connecting together, through serving one another, a lot through the training that's going on, a huge amount through the growth groups. But there are going to be times when there are issues and things that just require that bit of extra input. God spoke to a couple in our church many years ago about caring for people, pastoring people. And guess what? They're still doing it. They're still doing it. And Pat and Clive have a huge responsibility within that. And I know that they're developing a team that's going to bring pastoral things that's going to help us to be church together. It's going to connect us one to another when there's those bigger things. They are not the only answer, but they are a big answer. And they are gifted in that way. And some of you are going to be part and are already part of that pastoral team. And you are serving and helping us connect together through our pastoral team. Other times we need even more support than that. Connecting together will mean that that's there. Pastoral. Sorry I had to make that so short. It is a huge part of who we are. It's a very significant part, but time isn't going to allow me to expand on that. And then I'm going to end with this one. Hospitality. Are you a hospitable person and a people? Have you come this morning thinking, who can I invite back for lunch today? Not planned it 3 weeks ago. Let's not be British, let's be Christian. How many could you have back today, Colin? How many could you have back? Yeah, I know. I didn't say you will. I said, how many could you? I'm giving them a break because they're still acclimatizing to which side of the world they're on. Okay? But I just know that they have a gift of hospitality. And they have a barbecue pit that proves it. And a garden that proves it. And a house that proves it. And a lifestyle that proves it. How many have ever suffered their hospitality? How many would love to suffer it again? Okay? But hospitality does not mean I have to put on a meal for someone. Hospitality may mean I'm going to go back there and get a cup of coffee and come back and give it to someone. Hospitality might be I'm going to sit down and have a chat with someone this morning that I haven't chatted to for a long time. Hospitality is such a big thing. And I would love, this is my dream, that there's never a Sunday morning that a visitor comes here, they're not invited back somewhere for lunch. They probably will say no because they've got other ideas and that's not their expectation. But let's change the expectation to people who come here and our expectation as well. Could you ever conceive cooking a big lasagna, far too big for you, and some salad, and just coming and saying, if there's somebody there, I'm going to invite them back. I don't care who they are. They don't have to be in my age group. They don't have to be people that I like or dislike. They're just people that I need to be connecting together with. Come on back and have lunch with us. Whoa, well, there's four of us. Yes, fine, come back. We'll make do. And if there isn't anyone, we eat that much of lasagna, we freeze that much more, and I got a meal for next week. I win-win. Let's be hospitable in that. Let's grow together. I'm going to read a last statement. Gordon, this is it. I'm finishing. You can say hallelujah. And again, we must be the most exciting, invigorating, welcoming, caring, loving, forgiving, growing, maturing, and challenging group of people on the planet. Fear to join because of the unknown and the power, but yet added to daily because we are so intoxicating. That's my vision for us as a church. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. We're going to finish.